We'll get into our word tonight about joy. We're talking about joy. Let me get down here to my little tree. I didn't steal Bill's board this time. I took one out of the Sunday school class. But as you can see, we're talking about our spiritual life. This is part two. Anybody remember what we talked about last week? But what part? Love. We talked about love. And how, and the reason I'm going through this is for a couple of reasons. It's a new year. It's time that we reflect on, you know, on our lives and all. But I thought about how that, you know, we have to intentionally look at what we are in Christ. We have to intentionally measure that, I think, like we do anything else. You get on the scales, measure your weight. You look in your bank account, see how much money you've got. We measure those things. How much do we measure our spiritual life? Do we really look at it and say, okay, God, here's what I look like now, and I want to look more like you. And so we have to have some goals here. We talked about love being one of the fruits of the Spirit. First of all, we talked about the foundation, and we defined foundation last week, if you remember. Foundation, cornerstone is what I define, cornerstone. And what a cornerstone is the first stone in place of a masonry project. The first stone you put in place, the other stones follow that pattern. So the cornerstone is what really sets up the whole structure. So if our foundation is not first of all founded on the truth of Jesus, then our structure won't be set right. We won't be in the place that we're supposed to be. So the foundation is the Lord. Then from that foundation blooms our life. And our life produces different fruits, different branches, different things. Now, in the midst of this stuff, we also produce some rotten fruit. Because some of us act rotten sometimes, don't we? We don't always produce the things that look like Jesus. We don't always have halos. Sometimes we got hellos. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to be intentionally careful of what our life looks like. You know, let me use you ladies for example. Well, guys now too, but ladies. If you're a lady like my lady, and she is my lady, she really is. But when you ladies leave anywhere, my lady anyway, looks in the mirror, she won't go nowhere without no makeup. She got to make sure her hair is right, her makeup's right, she looks right. You ever seen the women on the interstate doing this while they're driving? Eyelashes, one hand on the wheel, looking in the mirror at themselves. They want to know what they look like. They're intentionally looking at themselves to see if they're pretty enough to go out in public. What if we put the same intention in our spiritual life we do in the mirror looking at ourselves, or taking selfies, or for us guys, we do this in the mirror. We do those things. Do we put the same? Or you see the folks that go to the grocery store, and before they barely got a line, they're staring at their receipt, line by line, standing there to make sure that MVP came off, to make sure that bread was BOGO. Buy one, get one. And they're staring to make sure. We need that same detail to our spiritual life to see what it looks like. And if it's not producing what it should, let's do something about it. We talked about love last week, how important love was. And all of these things we'll talk about in the next several weeks is not just things that we should reflect for others. They are things we should be walking in for ourselves. Do you know that when we love someone, it puts us in a better place? When we have joy or show joy to someone else, it puts us in a better place. These fruits are not just to give away, but they're also for us to partake of. And as we eat, we share. You know, just like you go get a pizza and you share with someone. You bought the pizza, it's paid for, you got a big old large pizza, hey, have a couple slices. You share what has been given to you. Let's share love with others. The next one we're talking about tonight is joy. Most of us know what joy is without having to put a big fancy definition. Joy is, you know, being happy, enjoying life, rejoicing, you know, being positive about things, having joy. And we need that in our world. We need that in our walk. I told you about the church I was at last week at a service, and they were singing, you know, a song. And I was like, oh, my gosh, there ain't joy to be found in this church. I mean, God can't be here. I mean, he's got to be like, you know what, I'll catch y'all later. I'm going over here to someone else because, man, I was like, I've never heard a gospel Christian song sung so depressingly. I mean, you know, when we sing to God, when we're talking about our God, there ought to be a measure of joy to that. We ought to celebrate that. But, Pastor, you don't know. My life is hard. We still should have joy if we have Christ. If that's our foundation, see, here's a good thing. This can change. Our lives can bloom different blooms. We go through good seasons, bad seasons. We may love tomorrow and hate the next day. We may have joy one day and be depressed the next day. But this foundation is steadfast. This foundation doesn't change. This foundation is forever. And it's this foundation my life is built upon. So I need to understand that. If God never changes, and that's my foundation, and His promises are true, and His promises don't fail, and they don't change, and they're not reversed, I should be happy because I know what my future looks like. We're going to talk about joy. So go to my first verse, Proverbs 17:22. We've heard this verse. A merry heart maketh good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. People that walk in joy, it's an endorphin rush. I told Brenda's son-in-law this morning, Tommy, he was heading off to a service across the street. And I was out there outside, and I said, hey, Tommy, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. He looked back at me, well, give me some of it. Got to the car. That's what I was trying to do. Give them joy. See, here's the thing about joy. Really, any of these things. These things shouldn't change because our circumstance changes. They shouldn't change because our day changes. They shouldn't change because factors change. If I've got joy in the Lord ain't failed me, and the Lord ain't let me down, and the Lord ain't passed me by, and the Lord ain't turned a deaf ear to me. The Lord's seen what I'm going through, knows what I'm going through, cares what I'm going through, understands what I'm going through. The Lord loves me. His mercy, the Bible says, endureth forever. So I know that. So my situation shouldn't change whether I walk in the joy of the Lord. Now, I can have my happiness affected by things in my life. You know, you have a family issue, a child issue, a money issue, a job issue, a physical issue. Sure, those things can discourage the flesh part of you. But if I'm really in Christ and that's my foundation, I can still, through all of those battles and storms, have joy. I've got the joy of the Lord down in my heart. Down in my heart to what? Stay. That joy is a joy the world can't take. That joy is a joy cancer can't kill. That's a joy that poverty can't rob. That's a joy divorce doesn't martyr. This is a joy that's steadfast and remains inside of me because my joy is linked to one source. Him. Not me, not my wife, not my kids, not my job, not my money, not my health. My joy is linked on the foundation of Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Messiah, my Redeemer, my Healer, the one that rescued me from my sins and sanctified me forevermore. That's what my joy is attached to. So that's why I can walk in joy no matter when I don't feel on the outside joyful. I got to remind myself where my joy stems from. It stands from who Jesus is in my life. It's like a medicine. Man, there's something about... I heard this on the news, and I know it's real because of the news. But I did hear this, that people that complain all the time actually form a depressive spirit. Because when they complain all the time, it changes how they think. And they become a depressed person. So if you're depressed tonight, let's look back. Are you a complainer? Do you bellyache about every issue? Do you complain about everything that's wrong? Or can you see the lining, the silver lining, like Mr. Rogers, which, by the way, I went and seen the movie, Melanie went and seen Mr. Rogers' movie. I thought it was great. It is a little slow-paced, but it had a depth to it. I really enjoyed it. And you learn about his life, how patient he was, and how he always saw the good in any situation. It's really a lesson for all of us, because no matter what we're going through, if I've got pain in my body, there's somebody got worse pain than me. If I'm struggling financially, there's someone way struggling more than me. If I've got family issues, thank God, there's another family going through more than me. That's how we feel, isn't it? I mean, understand that's where we are. We can always find joy in our life because there's someone battling more than we are. So we remind ourselves of that. It's like medicine, but look, a broken spirit, the opposite of joy, discouragement, depression, it dries us up. It's hard to reach a person that's discouraged because all they see is the discouragement. But when we can point them to Jesus and what he did for them, man, it changed everything. I think about a couple of stories with this. Remember when Zacchaeus came off down the tree and the Bible talks about how he made haste and with joy he received the Lord. And his world changed. You know, Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. We think money fixed our problems. We think, you know, what it doesn't. Zacchaeus had money. Zacchaeus was well known. Zacchaeus had authority. Zacchaeus was in a prominent position in his community. But he was still missing something. He wasn't happy with himself. He wasn't happy with his life. Something was yet missing. Why would this dignitary want to climb a tree to see Mary and Joseph's carpenter son? Something was drawing him. And when Jesus looked at him and says, come down, the Bible says he immediately came down and was so excited. Jesus called me. He wants me to come. He wants to eat dinner with me. Jesus wants to eat with me. There was a joy because I think Zacchaeus realized that what he couldn't get from any of his business transactions, he could get from this man. That what couldn't fill his heart with money and possessions, he could fill it permanently. And he understood that. When the Samaritan woman at the well and Jesus came to her and offered her living water, remember she was so excited, went back to her family, shared what Jesus had offered her. She couldn't believe it. You're offering a covenant promise to a non-covenant person? Do you hear me? You're reaching out across the wrong side of the tracks. You're reaching out to me who doesn't deserve to even be communicating with you. You don't have to come my way. You had all rights to pass right by me, but you didn't. And the Bible says that she went and told her family, so excited that this man offered her something that would change her life. When we realize that God has really changed our lives, that God has changed our future, that what used to be our future is no more because the curse has been reversed. And because of that, this is what God did for me. How can I not walk in joy of the Lord? Man, how can I not walk knowing my last breath here is my forever breath with him? And that changes my whole mindset. The world can't take it away. Next verse. Makes good like medicine. I love that. Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. So because of that, I will rejoice. Guess what, y'all? He made Mondays. Yes, he did. And he made hump day. Yes, he did. And he made days you got to work overtime. And he made days you got to go in on your day off. And he made days, he made rainy days when it's 35 degrees and you're bitter cold inside and out. He made days where the iguanas are dropping out of trees in Florida and freezing as they hit the floor. I text Christian, I said, watch out for the iguanas. Crazy, man. Thank God for like a creature that actually freezes but not dead. And when the temperature rises, it starts moving again. Whew, that should be a movie. Watch out for the frozen iguanas. God made those days. Every day we live is a creation of what God did. When he woke you up this morning, he woke you up into his day. Not about our day. We can have plans, and we should. We should have goals. Was that Uncle Freddy? We should have goals, and we should. But it's still his day. Now, we have good days, and we have bad days, but he is the God, as we sing, of all days. So I'm going to rejoice for this day. God, I'm going to walk in joy because you made this day, and I'm alive because you wanted me alive. Because my life's in your hands. I can yoga, slim fast, jog, run, lift weights, do all the things I want to do to try to extend my life. But you still have control of my days. And so, Lord, every day I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in the moment that I'm in, the season that I'm in, the day that I'm in. I'm going to walk with joy. Because I realize, man, if we knew, if we really understand where our future lies, and that all the journey we're going through now is a journey, it's a process, but it's giving birth to a greater awakening that God has promised because he rose the third day. Because he became the first fruits of them that slept, and then we will follow that pattern. Where we, when our name is called, will take our rightful place through the blood of Jesus at his throne. So I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to not let my day dictate to me my mood if my anchor is in that foundation on that tree of the Lord. Someone snapped me off this morning kind of ugly. I didn't like it. And I'm like, you know what? I ain't going to let this bother me today. They can snap all they want. I'm not going to let this affect me. And I just rolled it right off like a water off a duck's back. Said, you know what? It's okay. I know who I is in the Lord. And that's all I need to know. Next verse. Psalms 30 and 5. We've heard this verse quoted before. And if you read this verse, let's break this down a minute. Think about this. His anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, for a season, for a day. But joy will come in the morning. We realize we're covered by the grace of God. Grace lasts how long? Forever. His mercy lasts how long? Forever. His covenant promises last forever. So when David, and this is talking about, you know, David's, you know, sinned greatly against God with Bathsheba, the murder, the adultery, the pregnancy, all that stuff. And David paid a temporary price for that. He paid a price. He lost that firstborn. There was against his kingdom, there was from that point on a lot of uprising coming against him, trying to destroy him. His own son even rose up against him. Oh, Jeremy should be out there. Doc, check. Doc's got it. Thank you. I see him back here. So we go through temporary times, and they went through a very real time of punishment, shame, and condemnation. But you know what happened to David? Remember what happened? Hello, Mindy. He fasted. And, hey, Sherman. He fasted, and he prayed, and he waited. And remember what happened? After the news came the baby died, David got up, washed his face, took off his sackcloth, and went to IHOP. Yes. Time to eat. Isn't it strange? Remember what David said? You know, isn't it strange? Okay, you fasted and cried and wept, hoping the child would live. Then it died and you celebrate. The judgment was over, wasn't it? The judgment was over. The child died. Now, David, the prayer didn't come like he wanted. The child died. So David realized, this is the judgment against my sin. But God still loves me, and he's still my God. So I will rise up now, face my God again, and there'll be joy in my life again. And David did. He even prayed, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. Restore the joy. Not restore my salvation. Restore the joy of my salvation. Remind me, God, again, that I'm your child. Let me feel your presence once again. In my sin and iniquity, I failed you. But God, thank you. You didn't give up on me. And I rose from the sackcloth and the ashes once again to celebrate and worship my Savior and feel your presence. He was still God's child. So you may have some weeping, but joy will come in the morning. And we know that joy is in the future of all of God's people. There's a beautiful, glorious place. We call it different things. Canaan land, Buddha land, you know, that land, whatever you want to call it. But it's the place beyond this place that God has promised and prepared for us to be a part of. So I take joy in that. Verse 11, same chapter, says this. That's not what I meant to put. Never mind, go to the next verse. Must have got the wrong verse in there. Sorry. Psalm 71, 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you. Now, why should I rejoice singing to God? Because it tells us, my soul thou hast redeemed. I mean, think about this. We thank someone for buying us lunch. We thank the boss man for a raise. You know, you'll thank me for a good message. If nobody else does, Roger does, and I appreciate that. You can't ever go nowhere, brother. I need you here forever. he's saying, I'm going to be joyful and rejoice and sing to you. You've redeemed my soul. I've got something, the old expression, to shout about, right? I've got something to celebrate. You stepped in time and did something that I can never do for myself. You restored me. You redeemed me. You cleaned me. You bought me back. You reconciled me and sanctified me, and you justified me apart from the works of the law. You justified me and made me righteous simply because of who you are. Simply because of that. So God, I sing and I have joy and I celebrate your goodness. How can we not walk in joy when we talk about God? I mean, how many natural people do we grin cheek to cheek with people we talk about that we admire or that we love? You know, supermodel, hot guy, sports star, rock star, Aerosmith, Melly. You know, we celebrate people. Why don't we rejoice with God, knowing that my foundation's in the very one who made all heavens and earth, who said, who moved upon the waters and it became something, who blew breath into mere dust, and we get Joe Brown, hallelujah. Joe Brown from the ground. Woo! Man. Literally Joe Dirt. Joe Dirt without the mullet. Hallelujah. Think about that. Man, you think about Noah's day when God called Noah to save his family, and all those animals marched in obedience to get on that ark. Think about a scene that must have been. As all of these animals, some 2x2, some 7x7, as these animals begin to march on their own into this huge ship that Noah had made. That's the God we're serving. That's the God we're singing to. That's the God we're worshiping. And as we worship God and sing to God and think about God, all these things should flood our soul. We should not think or praise or worship God without smiling. How can we if we know who God is? When I heard that story of the iguanas, I told somebody, I said, man, tell me we ain't got a God. I mean, that's just funny. They actually had a warning. Y'all saw on the news, right? A warning in South Florida for falling iguanas. Yes, it got so cold in Florida, the iguanas were freezing and they were falling out of trees. They said, they're not dead, though. Leave them alone. When the temperature warms up, they'll start moving again. Jesus did that. Hallelujah. I mean, think about that. That is hilarious. I heard that story and like, oh my gosh. I mean, if God could make a donkey talk, a Red Sea part, then keep an iguana alive frozen like a popsicle until it thaws out. Can you imagine walking by and seeing it? Look, mommy, it's dead. Oh, no, it ain't. I was thinking about that. My lips are going to sing because I'm redeemed. Next verse, Brandon. Psalm 16:9. This is 9 through 11. I love this part. Once again, David's talking, is crying to God, and I love these verses. He says, therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh shall rest in hope. Next verse. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou see thy Holy One see corruption. And the next verse. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. It's in his presence, not in the world's presence, not in the bar's presence, not in women and men, not in money and jobs, not in the stuff the world offers. There's not joy in that, because that joy is attached to what's happening in that moment. And that moment can change, but this moment doesn't. That root ain't going nowhere. The wind can't blow it away. The storm can't uproot it. It is planted and it shall not be moved. And that's the rock that my life is on. So I trust that. So my joy is not attached to what's happening around me. My joy is attached to who lives in me. There's a very big difference. And that's why the world, even Christians, are so discouraged, because they see God as a magic genie. Or if things aren't clicking, then he's not listening. If things aren't working, he's not working. No, 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 no. God's not like that. See, God's not like how we are. If we see God as who he is, the creator and maker of all things, including us, and that he's made a promise, I'm never going to taste death, never going to die, live forevermore. you know, my sins are forgiven, my past is forgiven, my future is secure. If I see those things in God, I can trust that, because that's not going to change. It's not going to fluctuate. It's not going to be removed. It's not going to be erased. Jesus said that no man shall pluck you from my hands. God's got us. The devil is a great, great liar. He's the best at it. He's better than Washington, D.C. He's incredible. And he spews these lies into our soul and our spirit about our salvation, about our redemption, about our forgiveness, about our past, about even our future. How do I know I'm going to be saved? How do I know God's going to see me? Well, have I done enough? Have I not done enough? Da, 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 da. And we have all this battle in our mind going on. Let's just focus on him, on what he has done and who he is, and let your joy in him cancel out all the lies of the enemy. And let the devil know, I'm going to rejoice whether you like it. I'm going to shout whether you like it. I'm going to holla whether you like it. I'm going to do whatever. I'm going to dance with my feet whether you like it or not. I'm going to pray in the spirit whether you like it or not. I'm going to go to church whether you like it or not. I'm going to give my tithe whether you like it or not. Can I get it with us? Whatever. I'm good plugging that in. And that's a smooth. Whatever. Whatever. I'm going to rejoice, because nothing that comes against my life can cancel out what Christ has did in my life already. Nothing. Nothing. 2,000 years ago, he paid a price for humanity. I'm part of that humanity. I'm part of that world. I'm part of that creation. I'm part of that price that he paid. I'm part of that future where he said that he contradicted the cross, that he looked beyond, he went through it and looked beyond the cross. And before the cross, there was joy. He saw joy because he saw us. He saw a redeemed creation. And that's why he could endure Calvary, because he looked ahead and saw what that would produce. And that was his creation, redeemed and right with him again. Man, there are pleasures in the presence of God forevermore. And there's pleasures the world can give you. If you've ever felt the power of God, the real power of God in your life, it's like no other high, no other rush, no other drug, no other issue. When you feel that power of God, you realize this is real. And this isn't going to ever leave me. And this isn't going to wear off. This doesn't take me up and down. I don't crash up and down. I can walk in this every single day. That's the beauty of this. I can walk in it. But I've got to choose, like I said, measure my life. God, where am I at? Am I living a life of joy? Am I walking in that? Am I showing that to other people? And am I receiving that myself, the joy of the Lord? Am I walking in that for my life? That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is we should walk in the joy of the Lord. Next verse. John 16:22. He's talking to disciples. This is Jesus. He says, You now therefore have sorrow. They knew he was going to be leaving them. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Why do we let others rob us of our joy in the Lord? Why do we give them that kind of power? Why do we allow the things around us to become what's inside of us? Keep that out and remind yourself who you are in Christ. Now think about this verse. His disciples knew he was going to die and leave. But 3 days later, he did come back, didn't he? They saw him. And they saw him for 40 days. And guess what? They knew everything will be all right, because he rose from the dead. As they cried, I'm sure all of the disciples shed tears that day at Calvary when the earth grew dark those 3 hours, and they saw their rabbi, their teacher, their friend, their Lord, their Savior being beaten and punished and giving up the ghost. And as they cut him down, knowing it was final, and they wrapped him in those clothes and embalmed him with those perfumes and myrrh, and they laid him behind a stone and then rolled that stone to seal it and did the committal service right outside the stone, whatever they did, and knew, okay, they all walked away. It's over. It's gone. Jesus is dead. For 3 days, I'm sure all of the disciples were sorrowful, and they even probably wondered, is this it? Or he said something else was coming, but what if it doesn't? What if this is it? What if there's nothing beyond this? But then something happened one day as Mary went to the tomb and says, he's not here. Man, this gives me chills, church. He's not here. where have you taken him? And an angel thought, you know, he's not here. He's risen. He's alive. And then he showed himself to the people around him. Here's the same Jesus you saw crucified, cut off the cross, wrapped up in clothes, put behind us a rock and sealed. I am that Jesus. I didn't stay dead. I rose again, and now I'm risen forevermore. I'm going to ascend to my Father, and everything is going to be complete and final and changed forevermore. The disciples knew now there was hope for their lives. They could rejoice because they knew this was somebody different. This was a covenant promise. This was the one they've been waiting on and praying for and reading in Isaiah. This was the one that a virgin shall conceive and call his name Emmanuel. This is the one that said he shall ride in on a donkey and turn himself in Zechariah. This is the one that as they spoke through ages and ages, as they stood in synagogues and read from the scrolls, and all people says, who is this and when will it happen? It has happened. I am he. This is it. And it is forever. Hallelujah. This gives us joy in the Lord. That's why I rejoice. Because I know what he's done. And no man can take away from me. A death sentence can't take it away. A divorce can't take it away. Bankruptcy can't take it away. Nothing can take away this. This joy that remains with me through it all. Because whether no matter how long you're on earth, it's never long enough. And all of us before long, you know, me and I was talking about that last night, how that there's a date on all of our lives. We do things to try to extend our lives. I mean, we know we can expedite that with our drinking, smoking, drugging, lifestyle, eating Big Macs every day. I mean, we know that. We can expedite our departure. But as a whole, we realize that no matter what we do, our day is going to come. There are people who live to be 100 now, but they don't live to be 200. Their day comes. And all of our days are numbered in the eyes of God. And so I can take great joy in realizing, God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to walk in joy. I'm going to walk in love for you, knowing what my future holds. And nobody, no doctor, no person, no situation, no mountain, no giant can rob me of what you, God, have given me. I'll have that forever. Our spiritual life, we have to intentionally look at it and measure it and see, are we, first of all, on the foundation of Christ? Because if we're not, this doesn't work. So the first thing is our life on the foundation of Christ? Am I putting God first? First in my decisions, first in my life, first in all the things I do, first in my family, first in my money, first in everything. God, you are first. You're number one. God, I honor you with all that I am and all that I have. That's the foundation. And as we walk in that foundation, God begins to build upon that foundation. He begins to build when we start loving people that we used not could love because Christ has changed us on the inside. We can forgive those that we used to, we couldn't forgive because the Lord has changed us on the inside. I can now love someone more, a little more unconditionally than I used to because God loves me unconditionally. So, Lord, if I copycat your love, if I can try to copycat your love, God, and love as you love, we talked about that last week. If I can love as you loved, wow, what a different world that would be. If I can love through eyes like you did, God, what a different place it would be. And God, if I can walk in the joy of the Lord and not in the joy of what's happening to me, because that's up and down, that's temporary. We see that. We call it. They got words for it now. I'm not saying they're not real. I'm not trying to make light of it. I realize this. But I'm just saying. They got words for it. Let me say this. We need to quit being spiritually bipolar. Spiritually bipolar. Where we are up one day spiritually, I'm talking about, and down the next day. How can we be down when God's raised us up? How can we walk in sorrow when God's delivered us? How can we walk in defeat when God's given us the victory? Victory in Jesus, right, Joe? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming love. Oh, something I knew him and love knew him. Anyway, y'all get the gist of it. Victory in Jesus. I've got the victory in Jesus. Not the victory at my job every day. Not the victory as a pastor or a husband or a father or a human being, but I've sure got the victory in Jesus. And he sees me, and he loves me, and he keeps me, and he watches over me. And I can have joy in knowing that every step is ordained by God. Every part of my life is governed and watched over by the great creator of all the universe. So I take joy in that. Next verse. Oh, that's it. Okay. Thank you for the warning. I thought I had one more. We see our tree here. We see our spiritual life. Love is the first one we talked about. And there's more verses for joy we can get into. But joy is a big part of our spiritual walk. And we shouldn't let the things that happen against us rob us of how we serve and worship God. To know who he is. To know that he loved us. To know that he looks on our sins and our failures and doesn't turn his back on us. To know that he looks at all of our shortcomings and that doesn't change how he loves us. That should give us great joy and great happiness to realize, Lord, I know what my future holds. The devil can try to haunt you, and I do believe the devil is active and alive and real, absolutely. But I absolutely do not believe the devil can take away what God has planted inside of you. He can come against you with shame and condemnation and unbelief and doubt and fear and all that stuff. But don't let him inside your house. Keep him on the outside. Arm this place. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God, right? Arm yourself. Cover your mind. Cover your heart. Cover your feet that your direction is going toward God. Have the Spirit. Have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you've done all you can do, what does the Bible say? Stand. There you go, Brenda Cook. When you've done all you can do, you stand. You stand your ground, armed with God, realizing he has armed you, and no weapon formed against you is going to prosper, not in the end, not in eternity, not when it matters, not when it counts. You may go have some nicks and bruises here and there. I get that. You may fall off the swing set a time or two. You know, fall off the bike going down a sidewalk, and you may have some wrecks in life. But it is not going to take away the seed of the covenant of grace and mercy that Jesus has given you. That's in there. And devil, you can't take this out. The old song, the world didn't give and the world can't take it away, right? The world didn't give it. The world didn't give you this joy. And the world certainly can't take it away unless you let them have it. Unless you let them come in your life and take out what God's put in. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to take it himself and give it to someone else. He's given it to you, and you've got it. Stand on that truth and rejoice, because we are blessed. We are blessed every part of our lives. When Vance Henry was passed away in the hospital, he left me such a legacy of a testimony. I'd never quite seen someone like him this way. He had blood cancer, I think, at one time, bone cancer. He was on dialysis every day of the week. He had heart issues. He had diabetes. He had a lot of this. Last year of his life was quite painful. He walked the cane there the last few years, and he even filled in for me and taught a few Wednesday nights for me here at the church. And he was, remember that? Yeah, oxygen, had oxygen on. He stood up here at this front, had a chair for him, and he taught a few Wednesday nights for me on oxygen and a cane, teaching the Word of God. And he would lay in them hospital beds, and I would go to visit him. And every time he's in the hospital, of course, we'd talk, and nurses would say, oh, my gosh, he encourages me more than I encourage him. Him laying there physically dying. But you know what he did? He was giving the gospel to everybody I come in contact with. And he told me, he said, Pastor, either way I win. Either way I win. It's okay. I win either way. If God heals me here, that's good. If you don't heal me here, I'm even better. I win every time. I win both ways. And he showed his tree to the fullest. And I spent a lot of time with this man. Wasn't perfect, of course not. LeGene would be the first one to tell you. He wasn't perfect, man. He's a man. But I'm going to tell you, I spent a lot of time with him personally. I trusted him with the pulpit. That's how much I believed in him. And I don't do that very often. And his testimony, he had a spiritual life that showed. And when you ran to Vance Henry, you knew he loved you, and you knew he cared for you. Something else Vance would do, I loved about him. He would tell you how it was. He would tell you, if you were wrong, he would tell you that in a heartbeat. He thought you were wrong. But he did it because he loved. He wasn't trying to stir strife. Joe Brown's that way. Been a few times Joe Brown got in my ear and told me I was wrong. 17 years. Been a few times he's kind of got in my ear and, you know, fussed at me. I said, I hear you, Joe. I got you. We need that sometimes. Not all time, though. Do what? I know it does. I know it does. It does. It comes from the heart. Joe Brown may look like a good old grizzly bear sitting there, but he's got a heart as a teddy bear. I'm telling you. I've known Joe personally for 20 years. Heart of a teddy bear. Rejoice, church. That's one fruit we should be producing in our lives as Christians. If your spiritual life's not reflecting, if people are looking at you and they don't see Christ and you are a Christian, it's time for self-examination, isn't it? Because we should be happy. I mean, man, we should be happy talking and serving and living our lives for God. We should be excited to talk about our Creator. We should be excited to share the good news. We should be excited to pray with someone or just love them. Let them know, hey, I'm praying for you, and I mean that. God loves you. We're going to pray together about this situation. Speaking of prayer, I do want to say this before we get out of here tonight. Barbara is home from the hospital. She's got a consultation tomorrow about 1 o'clock here in Statesville with a doctor. And I'll be able to update you more Sunday because they're going to have some test results they're going to be going over tomorrow. We don't even know those yet of exactly what's happening. And I don't want to give any false information or any negative information right now. I want to be careful about declaring anything like that yet. And so after tomorrow, we should know more. And then Sunday, I might have a little more of a clearer picture of what we're dealing with, if anything, or whatever it is, so that we can specifically pray for her life on this. So, but keep her in your prayer. She is very nervous, and she's a little scared right now. Bill, thank you for calling her today. I appreciate that. Mom told me you'd call her and talk to her. I appreciate that. And Joe called and asked about her. Von Seal called me and asked about her. So that means a lot. But pray for her for tomorrow as she has to face whatever's there right now. We believe God can turn it around. We believe God can make her whole, completely heal her. And so I know y'all believe that too. So just be praying for her tonight if we go to bed. Mention her name, call her before God to help her tomorrow to get through whatever she's going to have to face tomorrow. So, any comments before we close? We got 5 minutes, according to Melanie. Actually, about 4 minutes. I'm just kidding you guys. We'll stay here at 9 o'clock. I don't care. It's what I do. It's my job. So I'll be here as long as you want me to be here. Y'all got anything? Gordon. Yes. And I know you're ministering at your job as well. You share some of that with me. I know you're ministering and witnessing at work and sowing those seeds. And that's a beautiful thing. We'll give you a heads up. Nancy Rose called me tonight, and she's planning on being here Sunday. And she's going to have her gallbladder removed February 6th. And the doctors have told her you absolutely have to quit smoking or you're going to die. I mean, it's bad. She wants the church Sunday morning. She called me just crying on the phone, and she says, can the church lay hands on me Sunday and pray for me that I can overcome this because I'm scared I can't, and I need to for my life to break this. So Sunday we want to do that, okay? Just to give you a heads up, we're going to be praying for Nancy Rose. She's scared. When the doctor told her this, she's really nervous because she knows she needs to quit. She's nervous about can't quit and don't want to die. We will pray and lay hands on her and pray for that addiction to be broken in her life, that God will give her the strength to overcome it. Because I've had folks through the years in this church who has prayed that, who God has set free from smoking. Set y'all free. What I want to do Sunday is get some people that used to smoke that God set free to come up here with me as a witness to her. Hey, I was there. God took it away. God helped me. So be praying for her. She's really, really scared and really nervous about everything. So, anybody else got any comments tonight in closing? Yes, Brendan. And I told Tony this morning, I said, I texted her a couple weeks ago about I miss you and everything. And she never, she left me hanging, man. Left me unread. Don't leave somebody unread. Do what? So. Yeah, her name's Robin. Let's pray for her right now, church. God, for Robin's life, you see the situation that used to be and how you rescued her from that situation. We pray for a hedge about Robin's life right now, that the enemy will not, cannot come against her life anymore, that you shut the door and you keep the wolves from attacking her life. In the name of Jesus, put a hedge of your Holy Spirit around her, armor her, protect her, and keep her safe, and let this situation go away and die in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. That's a bad deal. I've counseled folks in that situation, and domestic violence is a very hard thing. It's very real, and it hurts a lot of people. Wow. Yes. Yes, we are thankful Tony is here. He's here on Wednesday night. Isn't that great? Give him a hand. Wednesday night. That's awesome. So glad to say. That's such a nice surprise of him coming in. Oh, okay. Mel really meant that, didn't he? 5 minutes early. See? Using Ashley as an excuse. Okay. Bye. Yes. Oh, okay. We'll do that in closing prayer for Tay and for Krista. Anybody else got a prayer request? We'll do that in. Yes, Marge. Yeah. Pray for those folks over in Australia. They're still battling a lot of loss and a lot of pain. Let's stand up. We'll close out with all these needs tonight. Lord, for every name called out, every situation called out, you know exactly who we are talking about. You know exactly what they need, and we thank you that you hear our prayer, and we thank you, God, you are going to be with every single person, God, and we trust you to meet their needs. We trust you for a hand of healing. We trust you for a hand of protection. We trust you for a hand of mercy and provision. We give you praise and honor, God, that we can stand in your presence behind the veil, talking to our Creator, touching the mercy seat. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you we have access to you one-on-one to, Lord, declare all of our issues and all of our battles and all of our storms, that we can open ourselves broken, God, before you with no fear of rejection. We thank you for that, God, that you love us that much. We speak healing and breakthrough for all of these situations that you've heard tonight, and we thank you for it and give you praise for it. Thank you, God, for the joy of the Lord that floods our soul. In Jesus' name, amen.